About a draft of the community design element, and I received feedback from this group and incorporated those edits that I received. There were a few items that this commission asked us to look a little more into and come up with some recommendations for strategies. So I just wanted to briefly go over those today, and then depending on the feedback from this group on those strategies, I'll incorporate those edits and recirculate the revised draft to everyone. Okay, so one thing that was just briefly talked about was tiny houses. So just in general, if anyone on the commission isn't familiar with what they are, it's a relatively recent social movement where people are actually choosing to live in smaller, actually very small homes for many reasons, you know, reduced energy costs, different type of lifestyle, reduced building cost, lower taxes. And these homes can range in size generally from 100 to 400 square feet. They come in all different sizes, shapes, and forms. Has the commission actually seen any of these come through?
We recently had an application.
Okay.
It was just applied recently? For as a campground, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was applied for as a campground, but it was actually this concept. So, yeah, this is one of the reasons why we asked to have it addressed in community design, because it appears to be coming.
Yeah, so if you look at the picture there, you know, it's very compact inside, but it is a living space. So we have a goal that was in the draft element that we might be able to fit this under, maintain the quality and character of new development. So then we would need a new objective and strategy for this. So a proposed objective could be create more opportunities for new types of housing when compatible with surrounding land use and development. So that's the overarching objective. And then the strategy under that could be review the zoning code to determine if modifications are needed to permit tiny house construction when appropriate conditions are satisfied.
My question, Alexis, is, you know, why would somebody choose to do this as opposed to buying into a condo with limited, like a studio apartment type situation? And why is it, I mean, I've read in the newspapers where different organizations have tried to help homeless people with temporary housing using this, which seems to make sense. I can see that. But in a permanent housing situation, wouldn't it make a lot more sense to have an apartment-style, studio apartment-style building that mimicked, you know, even a large house with multifamily housing type stuff than having these little houses? I'm having trouble getting my mind wrapped around how we manage this from a land use perspective for permanent residents, not in an affordable housing arena.
I think some of the appeal is you get your own piece of land that you can do whatever you want with. Not the house itself costs less to maintain, costs less in energy.
But your driveway and your yard would be bigger than the house.
Yes. And I think it's just a trendy thing right now.
Marty, what's your favorite ice cream?
I'm not allowed to eat ice cream anymore.
All right. You know, mine's mint chocolate chip. That's why there's different things, because we have different people like different things. So, I mean, there's a lot of young people out there like, I can build a house, and, you know, my wife and I can live in this house, and for, you know, we'll pay it off with our $200,000 college loan and have our own house and not have to pay fees to a condo association or anybody else. And I've got my own property, and we can grow our own food and do what, you know, live our hippie life or whatever it is they want to do.
No, I kind of agree with what you just said. I'm just trying to figure out from a zoning perspective, you know, where does it fit in?
And that's what the strategy is. Exactly.
Yeah, that's why the strategy says what it says, is that's what we have to do, or what we're suggesting needs to be done. We have to figure out either where it fits in or create something for it if we decide to do that.
If you think about the continuum of home sizes from McMansions to modest single-family homes to mobile homes, I mean, I think this is just the next step on that continuum.
Yeah.
A little different, perhaps, but if mobile homes fit into our economy and our culture, maybe these things can too.
Be great in an RPC, I'm sure.
Okay, well, that's what the strategy will be for you to look into this in the future, because you may see more of these come up.
Figure it out.
Okay.
Is it
working? All right, the next item you asked us to look into is agri-hoods. So basically, according to the Urban Land Institute, these are master planned residential communities built with a working farm as the focus. So essentially, they're either built around an existing farm or close to a farm where local produce can be provided. And it's really about connecting to the farm with the neighborhood. So like I said, they're typically designed around community scale farming. They benefit both rural and urban agri-hoods in keeping the production and consumption locally. So it's locally at the center of daily activity. So we have an existing goal, maintain the quality and character of new development, the same one we just talked about. We would need a new objective here for this. Consider agri-hood style development in Sussex County in order to foster local food production and connections to traditional agriculture economy and lifestyle of the county. And then once again, a strategy, taking a look at that zoning code to determine if modifications are needed to permit agri-hood style development where appropriate in the county. Any questions or comments on the objective or strategy? Okay.
You're good.
Great. And then the last thing that was mentioned at the meeting last week was about master planning. And I believe someone had brought up about, like, what were they called? Large-scale RPCs. So we have an existing objective, continue to offer flexibility and standards for large developments in exchange for higher design quality. So then a new strategy under that would be consider ways to incentivize master planning of large-scale developments that define the locations of buildings, trails, pedestrian paths, roads, open space, on parcels in consideration of development as well as on adjacent parcels. Is that what this group had in mind for these large RPC master planning, is that you're looking not only of the whole site itself, but looking at the neighboring parcels too?
I don't know that when I...
Or did you have something else?
Well, no, that's. I think that's the right start, but like defining the locations, I don't know about that. It's more like that allow flexibility in the locations.
Okay.
You know, and the use, yeah, uses, locations, and bulk standards.
Yeah, and I think it could be even one large parcel or a combination of smaller parcels, so we wouldn't want to do that. And then I don't know how you squeed the word interconnectivity in there, but I think that needs to be part of that. But I think you've captured it by and large.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll make those tweaks.
Yeah, and see how it connects with the surrounding areas, which could be that interconnectivity and a few other things.
Yeah, because, you know, you're doing what I call an RPC on steroids, you know, but one of the things we don't get necessarily in the RPC is interconnectivity on a larger scale. And this is what we want to open that door for somebody with, you know, innovative with the money and the ability to plan for a larger scale type project. It may be over a number of parcels. It might be in just one very large parcel.
Okay, great. And then the last thing that we were working on in the past week is we were updating all of the graphics. So this is just to show you what they're going to look like, but we have all of them done and we will swap those out into the chapter. So we have newer graphics.
Okay.
So if, did you have a question?
Not necessarily on graphics, but back, if you want to go ahead and finish and I can throw mine in at the end if you want.
I think that might be it for that.
That's it. Yeah, you're there. Okay. No, well, with the, when we were talking about the agri-hoods and the tiny houses, my worry is that we're boxing ourselves in, that we're just like, okay, these are the two things we're going to consider, but more innovative designs are coming up all the time, and I want us to have the flexibility to be able to consider those. I mean, if somebody came to us with a floating village, which I've been in those before, not nice, but floating villages, or, you know, something that, how do we address that in our plan that we are going to be looking for new innovative designs or that we can, when they come to
these
us.
These are add to, right? Aren't these
are specific.
But these are add to the earlier.
Yeah, right, so right, this would be additions to the element that we talked about last week. So that proposed objective 13.2.5, create more opportunities for new types of housing. Right. So we have specific strategies about agri-hoods and tiny houses, but the objective is still the same. The goal, even higher, is still the same, that it leaves room for new things that may pop up in the next 5-10 years.
Okay, thank you.
Who knows what the next trend may be in housing.
Exactly. I'll tell you, a floating pig farm.
Run housing.
Okay, imagine what it is. Okay, moving on.
Okay, and then the next piece I wanted to touch on before lunch. So an economic development draft was circulated, I believe, this week.
Hey, I think we just got it a couple days ago.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm not
so
sure.
So I don't think we've had time to look at that.
To digest it.
Okay.
But if you want to hit the high spots, my main area of concern, I'm just one of five, of course, is the strategy section.
Mm-hmm.
I did read through it, and the data reporting and all that was impressive, seemed to be well done. I didn't know if you want what your plan is. Do you want to hit? You plan to hit the high spots now?
I just was going to do a quick comparison.
Go ahead.
And then we can talk if you had time to look at it. I didn't know if the commission had time to review it. That I can take any comment back to our subconsultant.
Yeah.
So I'll just do a quick comparison. So the 2008 element for economic development was a lot smaller than the one you have in front of you. It had an overview section which had top employers, which is also in the new section, jobs by sector, which is also in the new chapter, the agencies, which also got carried over, industrial parks as well, a section on agriculture, which really focused on two strategies, preservation overlay and an industry overlay, which we talked about in detail a month or so ago, and then a section on strategies. So the new draft has a larger section, a much larger section on agriculture and forestry, and really breaks that down. As requested by this commission, there's a new section on tourism specifically. And then the new draft takes a really deeper dive into the economy of Sussex County. What are some of the trends? What's the industry employment look like? It also looks at employment projections, which is kind of on hold, as we talked about, until we figure out this whole population projection situation. And then several other types of employment forecasting and work. Talks about the workforce and how that breaks down jobs by, you know, place of work, the things we talked about, Dr. Ratledge, people commuting in and out, et cetera. Talks about different resources, economic development resources, those different agencies, and then the goals, objectives, and strategies. So that's really the outline of the new element. I think that's all I had for that. So I can pull it up if there's specific questions on it, or if you have just general overview ideas that you want me to convey to our sub-consultant at this point.
Just to Alexis, if you don't mind.
Do you want me to pull it up, Marty, or
no,
is it just overall?
I don't think
overall?
You have to, okay. Really, because I only got about a third of the way through it. But on page 5, there's talk about the financial impacts or whatever of the industry of agriculture. And on page 10, there's a similar overview of tourism. But there's different benchmarks. In tourism, there's a multiplier used and some other language, and in agriculture, it's different language. I just think that we should be consistent. You know, if a multiplier is going to be used to measure the impact of tourism, then a multiplier should be used for agriculture, whatever that is. But we should be using the same type of parameters, I guess, so it's consistent throughout. And then the second item is the forestry section. There's a gentleman working on a detailed summary of forestry as far as mills and that sort of thing in the region. His name is Sam Topper, Samtopper, Topper is his last name. His local number is 302-856-2893. I talked to him this morning briefly, and I asked him if he would be willing to receive a phone call and information regarding that, just to review that, because he's an expert here in Sussex County.
So what's he doing with mills, Marty? He said
he works for the Delaware Department of Agriculture, mm-hmm, and forestry. He's a Sussex County forester.
Okay.
And I think he's working on some kind of a detailed report on mills and availability and other things.
Okay, so he's currently doing an inventory.
But
and
I think if you were able to email him this section 6.2.2, mm-hmm, and then follow up with a phone call, he might be able to affirm whatever you have here, or he might be able to modify it.
Right.
Okay?
Okay?
And then that's as far as I got. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
It's okay.
There was some detailed other language, but we'll talk about that another day.
Yeah.
Anybody else have anything for...
No, I'm moving halfway through it.
Yeah. Just, we just need a little more time.
That's fine. I figured as much.
I think it could, put it on a future agenda.
Okay.
Okay. All right. It's 12 o'clock. We'll stand adjourned until 12:30, recess until 12:30, okay? Done.